Welcome to the Exposé Podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Molly.
And we're just a couple of goofy gals here to tell you about topics and get down to the real nitty-gritty of it all.
We are here to help you navigate through the confusing ins and outs of hot topics and get down to the truth.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned and listen to our next topic.
Thanks for listening to the Exposé.
Hi, I'm Rich.
I'm Natalie.
And this is Not Suitable for Adults.
Listen to us speak calmly and wisely to you about the best and the worst of kids' TV shows today.
Some of it's good.
Some of it.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello.
How's everyone doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Everyone as in just you, Molly?
Well, they can't answer, so I answer for them.
Everybody's
doing very well.
We're a bit out of practice right now.
Yeah. But
oh, Molly, how has your quarantine been thus far?
Well, I don't know if you've ever taken like those personality tests that give you the four letters.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I am an INFP, and evidently we were, like, built for quarantine, so it's been going pretty well.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
At least you're making the most out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I do miss people to some extent, but mm-hmm. I really have taken this as a time to be, like, do the things that I want to get done and self-improve or whatever, and just not have to, like, wash my hair very often.
I like it.
How about you?
Lovely. I'm a little bit exhausted lately.
Mm-hmm.
It's like half and half. I'm ready to get back to my daily norm, but another part of me isn't.
Yeah.
Especially as the weather gets nicer, I don't want to go.
Yeah. I don't want to go to work, but I do want to go to like a movie, if that, you know.
Mm-hmm. So drive-in is opening up.
Yes. Oh, they are tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to see what they have, because we've been talking about that and saying how the drive-in like movie theaters should be open.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting.
I know. I was thinking about going to it as well. I think it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. Have you ever been to it?
Only once. I went to date it. It was the first Maleficent movie I went.
Okay. I've seen a few movies there. The last one we went to there was The Joker last year. Yes. We went to see one of the Garfield movies one time. Do not recommend. Like the live action Garfield movies.
Yeah, those weren't good.
Well, enough small talk, because we are talking about something ominous and somewhat creepy, scary.
Yeah. Well, Molly, question for you. Have you reached the point in quarantine where you're like, I think I want to explore the darker side of the internet?
I've gone to all of these web pages so many times. I need something new.
Yeah.
Well, I hadn't until we started researching for this. And then, of course, I couldn't not go on the dark web. I had to try it.
Did you really?
I did, but I didn't really find anything interesting, and I'll talk about this later why I probably didn't. First of all, I'm chicken to like go too far into it. Like, I don't want a virus on my computer or something, but I just don't think I know how to get to the good stuff, or I don't know, bad stuff, good stuff, bad stuff, whatever.
Tell me what it is exactly.
The internet. What we see is a very small part of the internet on a daily basis. I've seen different numbers from different sources, ranging from 10% to 6% to whatever is what we like can browse on Google search. And then there is another part called the deep web, and that is a very large portion. It's basically the rest of the internet, and it is stuff that's not necessarily like nefarious or criminal, but just stuff that you can't access from a search engine or whatnot, because either you have to have a password to get into that part of the website. A lot of it is databases for like banks, universities, businesses, stuff like that, that you can't just access, or anything behind a firewall. So like, honestly, when you're streaming a movie, you're pretty much doing it on the deep web if you're doing it on like Netflix account or something, because you couldn't just go and like type that in and find it for free. You'd have to go and pay, and then you get access to that. So that is kind of what the deep web is. And then a small part, they call it like an iceberg. I'm sure you probably saw the iceberg picture. At the bottom of the iceberg is the dark web. And that is a place where you can browse the internet anonymously, essentially. Things are not traceable, or in theory not traceable. I think there have been times when they have been able to figure out who people are, but essentially if you want to browse the internet anonymously for whatever reason, you would do it on the dark web. So
I read that there are over 2,000 live dark web sites that you could go to.
Okay.
57% of them host illicit material. So,
well, yeah,
that perspective.
Yeah, and honestly, it makes me wonder what the other like 40% is. Like, why do you want to be anonymous if you're not doing some type of criminal activity? But
I don't know. So I watched like a BuzzFeed YouTube video of this guy buying stuff off the dark web, and because it was like BuzzFeed's channel, he couldn't buy anything illegal. So the stuff that weren't technically illegal, he bought, I don't even know what you would call it, like a cocaine kit, I guess you could say. So it had like a, you know, the mirror and the razors and I guess all the fixings to do cocaine except for the drug itself. So I guess that's technically not illegal, but
it's kind of odd because I would have thought that that would be like whenever they say somebody was arrested and they had drugs and drug paraphernalia, I would have thought that would have been drug paraphernalia, but I also don't know for sure what that means, I guess. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's not illegal to buy like a mirror and like a razor blade,
right?
You know, like it's not quite the same thing as like a marijuana pipe.
Well, and then he bought like this, it was like a safe keeping for your drugs. It was like a marker, like a faux marker that if you broke it apart in the right spot, then a vial will pop out, and that's where you can keep your whatever you need, I guess.
Yeah, interesting. But
that's the kind of stuff that he bought that wasn't technically illegal, so.
Okay. A lot of people, I guess, think of scary stuff when they think of the dark web. And I think they also think that it's relatively new, but it has been a long time coming. It really goes way back to the 1960s. Let me tell you the history briefly of the dark web. Back in 1966, something called ARPANET was created, and it's basically created by the government, and it was the Advanced Research Projects Network, ARPANET. So that's kind of where net comes from. I never thought of that. It means network, duh. But anyway, so they developed that as kind of a link between different universities and hubs for research so that they could share research easily between each other and quickly. It was supposedly only supposed to be used for research purposes and no personal things. So shortly after it was made, the first illegal act on the internet happened, where somebody requested somebody else to return their electric razor that they borrowed via this messaging system. And so that was evidently illegal at that time because you couldn't use it for personal reasons. So right out of the gate, we're already breaking the rules of the ARPANET. Fast forward a few years to, they think it's sometime between 1971 and 72. Some students at Stanford used the ARPANET to organize the sale of marijuana with some students at MIT. And that was the first anything ever really sold via the internet. It wasn't technically sold on the internet because they didn't like send money digitally, but they arranged it. So the first thing sold on the internet wasn't something on eBay or something on Amazon. It was drugs. So it just kind of gives you an idea that the internet has always kind of been a place for, you know, you can do whatever you want, I guess. After that, the ARPANET and the, well, I guess the ARPANET split into two different branches. And one was called MILNET, which was for the military. And one was called ARPANET, which is what eventually became the internet. So MILNET was something that was very private and very like encrypted and stuff like that. Like normal people couldn't get on there. And ARPANET kind of started getting more and more hubs that people could connect to. And then eventually, that was in the 80s. So eventually in 1991, the internet opens to the public for the first time so that anybody who buys a setup with a computer and a modem and all that stuff can dial in and connect to the internet. I was alive in the 90s, but I don't think we had the internet until like 2000. So I missed out on all of that early internet stuff. But Napster was created in 1999, and I do remember Napster because one of the first things like I remember doing on the internet, besides like figuring out how to scan a profile picture, I had to go buy a scanner, not a printer scanner fax machine, just like a scanner that was ginormous to get a picture onto the internet. And it was like the crappiest quality picture, just so that I could have a profile picture to talk to people that I had never met before from like Europe on ICQ. For some reason, that's what I wanted to do. But anyway, after that, then I remember downloading music illegally. That was the second thing I probably learned how to do on the internet. I did use Napster some, but I think I used Morpheus more. I don't know if anybody out there remembers Morpheus, but it was like kind of came up after Napster got shut down. And we used to rip CDs and those are the good days. Now I'm a retired pirate because I just pay for Spotify and it's fine. But in 2002 was when Tor was released, and Tor is something that you use to get on the dark net. And so basically it wasn't released to access the dark web. Initially, what it was something developed by the US Naval Research Lab that encrypted your information so that people couldn't tell who you were when you were browsing on the internet. And if you listen to our episode a few weeks back about your phone spying on you, you'll know that they definitely can track you when you're on the internet. Like, everything you do is being tracked. So as early as 2002, well, even before that, when they created MILNET for the military, people were worried about privacy on the internet. So it's always been something that they've been trying to figure out how we can maintain anonymity and still, you know, browse the internet. But people didn't use it that much because it was really complex. So finally, in 2008, the browser of Tor was created so that you could basically use it just like you would use Google Chrome, Firefox. Back then, you were probably using Internet Explorer, and you could browse the internet anonymously. You can use Tor to look at just regular websites. Like, you could just go to Facebook on Tor browser, mm-hmm. and I guess the end result would be that they wouldn't be like tracking you. So maybe if you were concerned about them listening to your or watching your things you click and your, you know, things you post and stuff and advertising to you, then maybe you should just do it on the Tor browser.
There is a Facebook of Tor, and it's called mm-hmm. Black Book.
Ooh, Black Book.
Yeah,
intriguing.
I'm interested to know what that looked like.
The next big thing that happened on the road to like the dark web as we think of it was the development of Bitcoin. So basically, they needed a way to pay for things and do transactions that was also anonymous, but it didn't work to just go on like an anonymous browser and then put your credit card info in because that's traceable. Doesn't make sense. So Bitcoin came about, and it is something that I'm like currently obsessed with. I have become obsessed with Bitcoin, Rachel. I bought some Bitcoin like a couple years ago and like just let it sit there for a long time. And then like the last 2 weeks, I've been buying more and more Bitcoin and I've made $10. But yeah, basically Bitcoin is a decentralized currency. So that means there is no government. There's no bank that controls it. It controls itself. New money is created as the blockchain grows, and it kind of is confusing, but honestly, it's not that confusing. If you just think of it as like transactions happen and that's like the block. And then after a while, somebody has to complete a computer equation that verifies all the transactions and puts that block into the chain. So whoever races and completes that computer equation first is rewarded with new Bitcoin. So that's how new Bitcoin is created. But so in that way, it's like there's nobody printing out money. The Fed's not involved. So it is truly anonymous. And then you can also not replicate it. You can't counterfeit it. So it's a really good match for the dark web and that kind of transaction. Basically, the rest is history. Pretty much what you think of the dark web at this point is coming into play. So what do you think of, Rachel, when you think of, or what did you think of, I guess, now that you've researched, maybe you think differently, but what did you think of?
I just knew that if I ever wanted to go on the dark web, my computer would get hacked like instantly. I just thought that. And then also I thought if my computer got hacked, my identity would get stolen and just it, like it would just be a domino effect onto what would happen, even if I wanted to go on the dark web, just to look around.
Have you like ever been hacked, do you think?
I don't think so. I've had people like steal my pictures before and like start up accounts with my picture. I've seen that. Okay. I don't know. That was a long time ago though. But I don't think I've ever been, you know, my debit card has been compromised, I guess, a couple times. And
okay.
But
yeah, I feel like back in the day, maybe this was because I was dumb. I don't know. But like when I was in high school, like we'd talk on ICQ or MSN. And I remember this one and I thought that it was like a 14-year-old kid. Like, and I was also like 14 or 15. So it's not weird. Okay. And so I started talking to him. On like MSN, I think. I don't know. He sent me like a file one day and it didn't correlate in my head. I highly doubt that he was like a 14-year-old kid. Like now that I'm grown up, he's probably some guy like hacker, but sent me a file one day. And I learned while I was researching that you can like kind of send like a picture, like a JPEG file, but like there's other stuff attached to it, like a Trojan horse and that kind of thing, like a backdoor virus. And so this kid, I say with air quotes, must have done that because I don't know when, whatever. And he was able to like do some weird stuff with my computer. Like he could flip the images, like he could make the whole screen like turn upside down, like take it over and stuff like that. And so that just kind of goes to show how easy you can get hacked, just like opening up the wrong picture.
That's crazy. So like he sent you this picture and was like, hey, open this up. I want to show you something cool. Or did he do that?
Here's what it was. It was a file for a game called Molewack. I just remembered this talking about this. So it was supposed to be like a little game that, you know, whack-a-mole game, like the moles pop up and you whack them. And it was like that. And it did have the game. You like click on the moles or whatever and you whack them with a hammer. But it must have had like other stuff attached in it that when you run the game opens up and then lets people get into your computer.
Interesting.
So,
but like when you opened up the game, you knew that he was going to like flip your computer or like
show you? No, it happened like down the road. Like it just, my computer just did some weird stuff. Like this is probably months later or like weeks later. I don't know. It was not the same day. And I was probably talking to him at the time and I was like, what is going on? And just like, I think I got the clue that he was doing it or something. And I think finally maybe he admitted to it, like that he had sent that.
Weird.
I guess he was just a young fledgling hacker and had no false intentions, but he wouldn't have, I mean, we didn't have anything on our computer to take, like, I don't think we had ever bought anything online at that point. So it's not like we had credit cards or anything, but still just really weird that you could potentially do that just with something so simple as a picture or something like that.
Well, I guess we'll take a break from there.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break and we'll be back. We should tell them how to get on the dark web.
Okay, and we're back.
All right, folks. So here's the deal. If you want to get on the dark web, it's surprisingly easy. Like, it's a child so could do it.
Can I say, when I was just searching this stuff, I looked up basically what is the dark web. I Googled it and just clicked on the first URL that popped up on Google, and I'm reading through and I get to the section that says what is Tor, and there's literally a link to download it right there.
Yep. I have I had step one, Google Tor. So type TOR, which by the way stands for the Onion Router.
Yes.
Because it has layers of encryption, like the layers of an onion, evidently. So yeah, just type TOR into your Google. Literally the first link that comes up is going to be the website to download it. So click on the link to download it, install it, and now you have the potential to get on the dark web, but you're not on the dark web yet when you get on Tor. Because like I said earlier, it is just another browser, but it's one that lets you browse anonymously. So you can visit normal websites on Tor, but you can also visit websites that end with .onion. So like our regular websites end with like .com, .org, all those things. The dark web websites end with .onion.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, and I did all these steps because I had a few drinks one night and was like, you know what? Let's get on the dark web. I probably would have done it anyway. I couldn't, like, at this point, I was like, well, okay, I downloaded this thing, now what? Like, I didn't know what to do. So evidently, to get on actual dark websites, you have to kind of find some type of index of sites because you can't actually search them. They won't show up in a search engine. The URLs look like a bunch of random letters and then .onion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The one that I found was you can search on, like, basically type hidden wiki into Tor, like search engine, and it'll come up with a website that is basically like a Wikipedia, but it's a list of just a bunch of links to dark websites. So that's kind of, yeah, the launching board that most people use when they're just wanting to explore the dark web.
Interesting.
From there, you can kind of try some different things. I know there is a search engine called Torch, which does try to pull up some of the dark web sites. There's something called the Virtual Library that's like just kind of a library, I guess, of different links. Mm-hmm. There's the Uncensored Hidden Wiki, which if you're extra daring and you didn't find what you wanted on Hidden Wiki, try Uncensored Hidden Wiki. And then there's Parasite. And Parasite, I just thought it was funny because it has like a, you know how Google has like I'm feeling lucky and it just takes you to a random thing? Well, this has the I'm feeling unlucky button and you click on it and it takes you to a random dark website. So if you're feeling very adventurous, you can go ahead and check that one out. But yeah, so you won't be able to really access the dark web unless you have some way to get to a list of links. I also watched a BuzzFeed video. Did you see the one where it was the same guy, because I watched the one you talked about, But it was like before that, he had gotten help getting on the dark web and he had ordered these things that he had bought. And one of the things that he bought was for like $5, he got a list of 1,000 dark web links.
Oh, okay.
So you can buy your way onto the dark web too, I guess.
Would you suggest if you are buying things on the dark web to have Bitcoin? I mean, I feel like
I think you have to. Any
other way is way too risky.
Yeah, I think you pretty much have to have Bitcoin because that's what people are accepting.
Their transactions are just kind of strange, like it's an escrow service type situation. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very interesting.
I don't even know what that means.
Like the way they explained it on that BuzzFeed video was like, let's say I wanted to buy a human liver. I don't know. And so I like put it in my cart. I send my Bitcoin money to an outside escrow account holder and they hold the money until whoever has that human liver mails it. And once it's mailed and sent out, the escrow service will release the money to the person who originally had that human liver.
Oh, okay.
It's just a way of keeping it, I guess, as normal of a transaction as you can via the dark web, because it's all anonymous. So
yeah, I suppose if you didn't do that, then you would have people just taking the money and running, like not ever mm-hmm. sending the thing that it is.
However, I have heard that the escrow services can be just as shady, though. They can take your money and then just shut down.
Yeah, I actually saw that too. Like there's been websites that are like, I don't know if you want to call it like an eBay of stuff, like drugs, weapons, whatever. Mm-hmm. And like they sell and then basically the whole website has shut down and runs off with the money that was in escrow at that time, which could be a lot of money depending. So yeah, I don't think it's necessarily safe to buy mm-hmm. things on the dark web, but I think there probably are some websites that are probably more reputable, as yeah. in like they have built up like a reputation of following through with the sales.
Mm-hmm. So like I think, I don't know, if you're gonna go on the dark web to buy something, go in and buy something that's probably not that big of a deal if you do or don't get, or if your money gets taken from you, I guess.
Okay, so I was trying to think because I had thought that I had been on the dark web before, but I couldn't remember what for. And so I said earlier, I mentioned that I did partake in the illegal pirating of music. Mm-hmm. I also at some point, so I had a, like, I think it was a Nook is the Barnes & Noble version of like a Kindle.
Yeah.
Somehow I found instructions on how to get free books. So essentially you had to use Tor because I had downloaded it and go to some like link that they listed, and then you could get lists for like torrenting. So then you would just take the torrenting file and put and like download it, and then somebody would send you the book. But I think it was on the dark web because I think you had to go to Tor to access the website to get the links.
You've been around the dark net before.
I guess so. I didn't know that's what it was, what I was doing at the time. I just was like, and that's funny because one of the things that I saw mentioned a lot about the dark web was they have a lot of book clubs and people who collect like rare books and stuff and like mm-hmm. pass those out, which I guess it's not good because you're getting it for free, but I'm like, oh, that's not quite so bad. People are reading, I guess.
The intention is good. I mean, you want a book and you just don't want to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you just can't pay for it, you know? You just don't have the money to pay for it.
I get it. I also thought it was kind of funny how like some online retail sites on the dark web have like ratings and reviews. And in that BuzzFeed video, the guy was like, oh, this guy has 5 stars. For giving people 1,000 followers on their Instagram account. And then so they bought it. And then when it never happened, he's like, I'm going to give that guy 0 stars. As if it matters. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that is funny. And that's something that kind of sprung up in like the early 2010s was that kind of marketplace on the dark web. And one of those that's the biggest one that you might hear about is called the Silk Road. Mm-hmm. Basically, that was a giant marketplace for pretty much anything, launched in 2011. And basically, you to sell something, you just had to purchase a seller's account. And then you could basically sell anything. They had it down into categories of drugs, weapons. I think you could sell pretty much anything. Fake IDs, logins to people's banks, pretty much anything. It was basically like an eBay. Like the way it was set up, I think, was kind of like an eBay. And it really changed things, like for selling drugs, I read, because instead of like dealing out on the streets and selling drugs out there, people were starting to sell drugs on the dark web. And so now you had to have good customer service skills and have good feedback and reputations. And you'd have to be able to like write a convincing post and stuff like that, more than just being like a thug on the street selling drugs, I guess. So it kind of businessified the sale of drugs, but it was not to be forever, because Ross Ulrich was the guy who started it. And he had his anonymous name, which I thought was kind of funny, was the Dread Pirate Roberts from the Princess Bride movie. And he started this website in February of 2011. And by June of 2011, Gawker had done an expose on the Silk Road, which brought it to national attention. So probably the worst thing that could have happened for them, because now the government is looking for them. It did take a couple years, but eventually it did get shut down in 2013. And at that time, there was about 10,000 products for sale on the Silk Road. About 70% of those things were drugs. A lot of drugs. They kind of made an example out of this Ulrich guy, and he ended up being sentenced to 2 life sentences.
Ooh.
Yeah. He was convicted of 7 charges, including engaging in a criminal enterprise, narcotics trafficking, money laundering, computer hacking. And there are reports that he tried to have 6 people killed via buying an assassin, but there's no evidence that any of those murders were ever carried out. So they had to drop those charges. Yeah. So I think the intent that he set out with that was, he talks about like libertarian ideals and I guess like a free marketplace and stuff, which I can kind of see that. But at the same time, there's a lot of downside to just having free access to everything, because a lot of people that may have not had access to drugs or not been willing to have access to drugs, for example, youths. If you don't know somebody, like if you were like, hey, Molly, can you get me some cocaine? I would be like, I don't know anybody who sells cocaine. Like, I wouldn't know where to go for that. I'd have to like do some checking, I guess. But so that would keep me from, I guess, getting cocaine, is because I just don't know the right people. Or maybe I don't want to like walk down to the scary part of town and like look for somebody on a street corner because I'm afraid I'll get mugged. So it kind of like took that deterrent away, and now everybody can get on the internet and just nicely take dad's credit card and buy some ecstasy for the weekend. And that's kind of dangerous. One of the things that kind of was good about it, though, was that it did make drug dealing less violent. So instead of the violence that you get selling drugs on the streets, now nobody knew who anybody was, so you couldn't really like attack somebody because you could be like, you know, in different parts of the country, different countries even. There have been other versions of Silk Road that have popped up, and they have all been shut down. But I think every time one gets shut down, another one pops back up.
I think you are 100% right.
And just a side note, there is a Pokemon website called the Sylph Road. And if you've ever played Pokemon, there's like you have the Sylph Scope, and then it's like the Silk Road, and they put them together, and it's where you get tips and cheats and stuff for Pokemon games.
Cute.
But anyway. Yeah.
Is that part of your bucket list? Do you want to go on there and buy something?
I don't don't feel like I need to buy something on the dark web. I don't know what I would buy.
I feel like AliExpress and Wish are very close to the dark web in a way, just because you don't really know if you're going to get your stuff.
Yeah.
Because it comes like 2 months later and it's very cheap and random things. So I think that's probably the closest I'll get to the dark web.
I saw there were a lot of counterfeit stuff on the dark web, and it did make me think of AliExpress because you can get a lot of counterfeit stuff on there, and it's kind of like hidden and sketchy in a way. Yeah, like you're taking a risk by buying it, essentially.
Yeah. So I found some funny like Reddit stories. Okay, they're not funny, but just on like people's accounts of that. Mm-hmm. So there was one really cool one, and I'd be interested in this. The quote is, one user was playing what they called an alternate reality game. This game, No Love Deep Web, had users accessing Tor to hunt various things. This user got engrossed in the game. It ended with her driving to New York to answer a payphone at 3 a.m. It was really cool.
Oh, kind of sounds like a giant scavenger hunt.
Yeah. And so I dove into it a little further to finish the thread on what this Reddit user was saying. And she said that it was basically this indie band who was releasing their new album. And it all led back to like a private concert and kind of cool. Like if you're into this game, you could do a small concert, I guess. I don't know.
Isn't there a movie where they're trying to find...
I know what you're talking about. It's like Emma Roberts and is it James Franco? Mm. And it's like the Dare game on their phone. And yeah. if they click Dare and they do the Dare, they get money.
I don't know.
Because that's what I thought of.
Okay. It might be. I don't know. The one I thought of was like they were trying to get to this band that does concerts, but it's only ever like a private concert and nobody ever knows where it's going to be. Ahead of time, they just like show up somewhere.
Is it Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist?
Oh, that might be it. Because I'm pretty sure it's like some like nerdy looking guy. It's Michael Cera. Or did I say that? Michael Cera, not Michael Cena. John Cena's in my brain.
Much like the dark web, John Cena's saying, "You can't see me."
Yes. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Have you ever, okay, so Will watches like these prank phone call things, and one of them was like, they kept playing like the John Cena theme song thing like to all the time, and people were getting really upset by it. It was funny. It's hard to describe, but anyway.
I really love John Cena. I just love his whole thing. I like his whole shtick. Mm. I think it's great.
Will does too. He's a John Cena fan, so you guys can... connect in John Cena sometime.
Yeah, here's another Reddit story. I once found a forum dedicated to sharing recordings of the automated messages that you tell the next stop on trains. People would post the recordings that they presumably made themselves, and then they would discuss them. It haunts me to this day. I have so many questions. So I didn't really know what that meant, but it sounded like people would make train or subway recordings and interfere with the subway's announcement, and so they would override the conductor and say their own announcement, and it would screw people up. That's how I took it.
Okay.
Isn't that like kind of twisted?
Yeah,
like who cares?
I guess you might make somebody miss their stop.
Yeah,
I don't know.
This one was funny. It says, Silk Road, circa 2013, purchased what was promised as a mind-blowing experience. Mm-hmm. Received a dustbuster 2 days later. Frankly, no complaints on my end. Oh, here's a wholesome one. There was a German man selling pretzels on the dark web.
Oh.
So,
you really can buy anything.
Yeah, someone bought a DIY vasectomy kit, which was just a lot of dentist-looking tools and some tubes.
Yeah. Why did they buy that in the first place? I'm wondering.
I don't know. And then I read this one, which was kind of creepy. It goes, I posted a comment on a video, and when I went back to that page to watch the video later, someone replied to my comment saying, that is very astute of you, Mr. insert name. I didn't use the internet for like a week. My last name is not a very common one. So because he's on the dark web, he should be anonymous, but someone found him.
Yikes. I feel like Reddit is almost like the pseudo dark web because you go on there like and not supposedly like, you know, people don't know who you are.
Yeah. I never dove into Reddit very much, but kind of interesting.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of 4chan? Okay. Don't look into it. It's stupid, but it's like, it's kind of like Reddit, but like you're supposedly posting anonymously, but obviously I'm sure they can trace you. I feel like, the hacker group Anonymous used to use 4chan or something like that. I'm not sure.
Okay. I just feel like if your API, like, is it API? Your AI? AP? I don't know. Your computer address?
That's oh, IP. IP address. Yeah.
Your IP. IP. There you go. That's on everything. So anyone can find you anytime if they wanted to.
Yeah.
If you're on the clear web.
Yes. Maybe that guy that, like, the person knew his name, maybe, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, why they would, how they would know. But I do know, like, you can click on a link sometimes that might have downloaded something to you. So that's one thing. When you go onto the dark web, you want to make sure that you have, like, a virus control or, like, malware detection because you never know. You might click something and it may load a new page and you don't know something in the background is happening to your computer. So yeah, that's the risk you take, I guess.
So true. I feel like if you go on the dark web, just like have a separate computer that's fully secure and use it only for the dark web.
Yeah. I saw like a recommendation for a setup and essentially they said to use a virtual machine. And what that is it's like basically having another computer, but like on your computer. So it's like you're virtually running like another instance of Windows so that if something does get infected, you can just, it's like you boot your computer up off of a thumb drive. So you can just like not use that anymore if something happens and you don't like lose your whole computer. So, and then you can also use or should probably use a VPN while you're on Tor. So like load up your VPN and then get on Tor so that you have that extra layer of anonymity and your internet service provider then won't be able to tell that you are accessing Tor either.
I suppose if you are compelled to get on the dark web, honestly, after watching some of those mystery box unpacking videos on YouTube, it really skeeved me out. I mean, I even messaged you about it and you said they're pretty much staged, but
yeah, gross. I read that like there are some bad things on the dark web, obviously, but most of the things that you hear about like being so terrible are probably either an exaggeration or not really true. So like the mystery boxes are one of those things that I think somebody must have, because I know you can buy like eBay mystery boxes. And I think somebody at some point would be like, it'd be cooler to YouTube like a dark web mystery box. And so they probably put together a box themselves and opened it up and act surprised at all the weird stuff inside. And then I guess after that started to become a phenomenon, then on the dark web, they did start popping up for sale, but usually they're like empty or full of like a bunch of junk.
I mean, if you're going to go through the effort, so the box I watch kind of all linked back to this serial killer, and it was a crime that was done in like the 70s, and basically the box was all the evidence. And it just seemed a little strange, and I mean, it creeped me out, so I exited out of it. But I was reading the comments before I exited out of it, and everyone was saying, like, If they were going to do this video, they could have made it less obvious that they staged it.
Yeah, like, you're probably not going to get, like, the cold case solved in your box sent to you, like, from a old murder. And wouldn't you, like, take that to the police then? That's one thing I'm always, because I've watched a few of those, too, and I'm like, why didn't you take, like, if it was real, you would be calling the police. I watched one, it was this guy who does a ton of these. And I didn't realize the first video I watched, and I was a little bit weirded out because he opened up and there was just like some, I mean, they always get like a video camera or something, and then there's something on it. And then he had this like bag of, it looked like organs, like human organs, and just like a bunch of weird stuff in there that didn't really link together. There was things that kind of hinted at like a sexual assault of some kind, and just very kind of nefarious things. But then I watched a couple more of his episodes where he like looked at the camcorder file, and he was setting it up to where he had a stalker, essentially. So like, supposedly whoever's sending him these boxes has taken pictures of him and he's freaked out by it. And it's like, okay, now you lost me, because if you had a stalker, first of all, you'd be doing more than just opening up boxes on YouTube. You'd be like talking to the police about it.
Yeah, I would say so too.
Yeah, and he didn't act that freaked out about it. I was like, well, this is obviously staged.
Yeah, well, the one that I watched, like I even told you this, like this guy, he's unboxing it in this dark room, and it was just, he had received like three boxes before this, and somehow they're all linking together. And he's like, I think we're getting these mystery boxes from the same person. Well, what are the odds?
Yeah.
That you're getting a mystery, like you're ordering these mystery boxes. How are you getting it from only one person? Mm-hmm. There's so many people on the dark web.
I don't know. I kind of question the validity of those a bit. Another urban legend, I guess, that you hear about the dark web is something called red rooms. And basically it's like you go into kind of like a chat room, but it has like video feed, and then like people are chatting, and supposedly there's somebody being like tortured or something, some type of bad thing being filmed so that people can watch it. And evidently there's been studies done where people like went on and tried to find these things and couldn't find. I mean, there were some like cameras, but most of them they decided, because there is one like famous one that I've seen, and I think it's been proven to be staged. So there are some kind of like maybe staged ones out there that have become like notorious, but these people couldn't basically, that you can't just go on and like find this. Yeah. I mean, if there's only 2,000 web pages on the dark web, you could pretty much kind of check all of them and like get through it and kind of see what's there. Maybe there's stuff that we can't, are beyond that. I don't know, but
yeah,
I think people kind of blow up a little bit the stuff that you can find. I did see like a website that supposedly you could contract a contract killer, but I don't know if that's legit or not. I mean, how often do you hear about contract killings? Like, not that often. You'd think if it was that easy to contract a murder, like the amount of people in the world would just be doing it all the time just because it's that easy.
I just feel like a majority of the people on the dark web, they're just going to take your money. They're going to do the bare minimum. They don't really want to do anything else. They just want your money.
I think it's a lot of scams. Yeah. I think the biggest thing you can probably like get on the dark web is going to be not so much like contract killers or like human organs, but information for, let's say, logins for somebody's Spotify account or somebody's social security number. Like, I think you can buy that stuff pretty easily. Maybe not quite as scary, but it is scary still in a different way.
Speaking of the dark web, though, we just finished it, but it's this show on Amazon Prime. It's called Upload. Have you heard of it?
I'm binging it right now. Okay, I'm on like episode 5 or 6. So
there's a scene where they go into the dark web, and it's really like, as I was watching it, I'm like, this is kind of what I imagined the dark web being.
Yeah, I think I just watched that one. Like, they walk through like the gray area, and then they get to like tower. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. That's kind of how I like picture it being, just a bunch of like skeezy people just trying to sell you dumb stuff, basically.
Yep. And you don't really get what you pay for. You get a bad version of it.
Exactly. Gosh, isn't that show so good? I kind of want to like rewatch it.
Honestly, I was like, after the episode, sometimes we talk for the listeners out there, whatever, I was going to tell you about it and be like, you should watch this.
Yes, so, I really like it.
Yeah.
Well, it's from the creator, Greg Daniels, who did like The Office and Parks and Rec and like King of the Hill and SNL. Mm-hmm. Like, he has done so much stuff, and I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
And I really like.
So yeah, go out there and watch Upload.
Yeah. Seriously though, watch it. It's so good.
It is pretty good. Yeah. I'm enjoying it. There are some good things that come out of the dark web. It's not all bad.
Okay.
But only 57% of the websites were bad. So there's got to be other stuff on there, right?
Right.
As I mentioned, when I was going through the history, it was actually the U.S. Navy research that started Tor and all that browsing anonymously. And I think that the government or some form of military still does pump some funds into Tor and the dark web, just because it has a lot of good uses too. It is anonymous, so that means that people that live in oppressive nations where they can't speak out for fear of being jailed or maybe even being executed can find a place on the dark web to reach out, to connect with people, and to get support or just voice their opinions without fear of the retaliation from their government. Journalists who want to work anonymously and whistleblowers, WikiLeaks has a dark web component. And I think that Edward Snowden did use the dark web to release his information so that he wouldn't be able to be tracked before he was, I guess, identified. Political protesters, anti-censorship advocacy groups, just simple things like you can access Facebook on the dark web if you're living in an oppressed regime. And that's like a simple thing that we take for granted, but somebody in another country may never be able to access that. Or Wikipedia is something that's blocked in a lot of countries. You wouldn't be able to ever see that because they don't want you to have that information. I watched a documentary and they talked about back in, I think it was like 2010, there was a phenomenon, like a movement happening that was called the Arab Spring. And a lot of Muslim nations had a lot of uprising for more democracy, more freedom of their people, less oppression. And the dark web played a big part in that because they could organize and advocate where they wouldn't have been able to do that on the regular web because they would have been killed. So that was a big deal. And in Turkey, I saw a story about a newspaper publisher who he had his own newspaper company and it wasn't, I guess, in agreement with the government. So they came after him and they used the dark web in some way to frame him for treasonous plans. So, and they did that by the method that I talked about earlier. They sent him a picture from somewhere because I think he was on the dark web trying to get his ideas out there and they must have found him and sent him a picture. And that opened them up to be able to put files on his computer that weren't his. And he eventually was exonerated for that because he got some lawyers that they actually go out and advocate for oppressed peoples in different countries. And they did some digging and they were able to prove that it wasn't him that had these files on his computer. He still wanted to get his ideas out there. So now he's operating on the dark web to get his ideas out there. So I don't know. I thought that was kind of sad, but cool at the same time.
Yeah.
China is one of the biggest censored countries out there. The list of websites that China blocks is crazy. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Tumblr, Snapchat. Can't go to any of those. You can't go to Discus, Tinder, DeviantArt, Blogger, WordPress, Yahoo, Google, WhatsApp, Netflix, YouTube, SoundCloud, what? PlayStation.com, Fox.com, NBC, like no news sites, Hulu, Reuters, like there's a bunch of news sites like BBC, New York Times. You can't go to Wikipedia.
What are they supposed to do?
I don't know. What websites do you go to if you can't go to any of those? I know they have their own like Chinese approved versions of some of those things. that they do let them go to, but obviously you can't put anything you want on those.
You think the dark web is like heavily used in China?
Actually, the Chinese government somehow blocks Tor from being able to be accessed. So they can't even use the dark web. They use a lot of VPN there, like to get just to like look like you're browsing from some other country. They can't use the dark web in China. And then aside from all of the whistleblowers, and I think that's a necessary space on the internet to have. So it's kind of like you have all of these bad things, but at the same time, you almost have to have it out there so that we can have watchdogs and whistleblowers and journalism that's not going to be influenced by government. One news outlet that's on the dark web is ProPublica, and they've actually won 5 Pulitzer Prizes for news and feature stories. And, you know, they are a free press essentially because they're on the dark web. They don't have to answer to anybody. So that's kind of a cool way to spread information. So I think it is something that can help and can be good, but you gotta watch what you do. Oh, and then the other thing they have is there's just some like wholesome things, like, well, the stuff that you were talking about, the guy selling pretzels or the scavenger hunt. There's, I guess, a lot of chat rooms that are about nothing like harmless stuff, but like you can go in there anonymously and talk about like trade recipes and like, I don't know. They said there's a lot of that kind of stuff happening on the dark web just because sometimes people want to be anonymous when they are on the internet, and it doesn't mean that they're trying to do anything bad necessarily. If you want to check out the dark web, go for it. Just do it safely. Look up how to safeguard yourself and then go buy some pretzels or something. Like, support that German guy.
Yeah. Stay away from the DIY vasectomy kits.
So. Yes, probably not worth it. Yeah, I hope everybody learned a little bit about the dark web. If you have any other questions, just put them out there. I would look into more stuff about the dark web and see what we can find. So,
or if you've been on the dark web and you have a cool story, you can tell us about that too.
Yeah, please do. I want to hear about, because we're too scared, so we want to hear about your dark web experience.
Yeah. And then obviously find us on Facebook, Twitter, our website.
Instagram.
Yeah, all the things.
Absolutely. Well, until next week. Oh, right. In next week, we'll probably have hit 1,000 listens. So that's exciting for us. So keep spreading the word. Let's get to 2,000 soon here, guys. That would be exciting.
Bye.